Latin American News.
Hey guys, how have you been? I am so sorry that I haven't posted in a while. I've gone back to school for a second degree and figuring out where to record, when to research, how to research, and the time it takes to do all of my homework and all of that became a little bit more difficult. But I've straightened everything out. I have a new place where I'm recording on my campus, and I am all set. The only thing is that I'm going to be changing the post times from Friday mornings to Monday mornings so that I have the weekend to research. And as always, we're going to start off with Mexico. This past Thursday, Mexico celebrated 200 years of independence, which of course is really big. Yet the news that is overshadowing this news is that this weekend is the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, or CELAC, is meeting this weekend in Mexico City. One of the members attending is Nicolas Maduro, whose predecessor Hugo Chavez was a part of the group that eventually made CELAC. The idea behind CELAC was to make an American-European Union, which is based also on leftist ideals, which is what kept the CELAC in good ties with Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua. The reason for this topic is that recently they've been discussing to replace the Organization of American States, also known as OSHA. Mexico has recently stepped up as a country where the Americas can go for mediation, and it has been swinging its diplomatic power with CELAC to gain more traction, because unlike OSHA, the U.S., Canada, and Brazil are not members. While for now Mexico is enjoying this state of diplomatic power, that might not last long if the funding for CELAC does not keep up. While the future of this left-leaning body does not seem to be secure, the future could change with the diplomatic ties between leftist governments increasing, while more willing to go against U.S. sanctions against the embargo on Cuba. Like in many instances, it's hard to separate some countries because of how tied together their economic futures are and how tied they are because of proximity. El Salvador earlier this week has officially integrated Bitcoin as a form of legal currency within the country, while at the beginning of the launch of this app, Chivo, which was going to be used as a banking tool for citizens it ran into some issues with Huawei, Google, and Apple on all of these apps' downloading platforms. This misstep in the availability of the app has caused most citizens some issues from the beginning, and now that it has actually been launched, the main issue now is whether or not Bitcoin will be financially feasible for most citizens. Because of the implementation of this law, the World Bank and International Monetary Fund have all looked at El Salvador and said that with this runs a risk because of transparency issue. The reason I bring up the proximity of El Salvador to other countries is because Guatemala and Honduras are both now watching El Salvador and how the adoption of Bitcoin into their economy is going to affect them. There is currently a study being done about how this is going to affect their economy, and the results of these studies will decide if the countries will adopt the currency or not. Yet, with so much pressure from the outside sources like the IMF and the World Bank, this might make the countries uneasy on whether or not they will be implementing cryptocurrencies and integrating them into their economies. For now, we have to wait and see whether or not El Salvador's bet on Bitcoin will prove successful or the downfall of this president. An ex-comrade of Daniel Ortega, Sergio Ramirez, has released a book called Tu Negro No Sabe Bailar. Quote, the book looks like the events of 2018 in Nicaragua, the repression, the death of more than 400 young people in the streets, the fire of a mattress factory that killed an entire family, and an assault on the Church of Divine Mercy, said Ramirez. Quote, all these things really happen, and they appear in the novel, end quote. While the book is somewhat circulating in the presses in Nicaragua, it isn't because Ortega is supporting it. Rather, it is because he is ensuring that any copies that come into Nicaragua are not even touched by a person because they are all being confiscated and burned. A warrant has also been issued for Ramirez, accusing him of conspiracy, money laundering, inciting violence and hatred, and undermining national integrity. Some of these, which he and Ortega were once accused of back in 1979 when they were toppling the dictatorship together. In an interview, they asked Ramirez if he sees any of the man that he used to know in Ortega now, and he said, none. None at all. I haven't seen Ortega in maybe 25 years. We haven't come face to face, but this person who's consolidating his tyranny is obsessively and at the same time so insecurely is a person I do not recognize, end quote. While he is in exile from his home country, he has dedicated himself to fight against his government until he is gone and drawing international attention to his country. Going over to Costa Rica, Costa Rica's road to tourism recovery is gradual, like most, yet greater than the average country. While Costa Rica's rapid response to COVID and their high vaccination rate, it has allowed it to be one of the few countries outside of the EU for EU members to travel to, which has helped them get a large portion of European tourism this year. While this increase is promising, it does not mean a full recovery, but does give hope that once COVID is beaten, that normalcy shall come back into the world. When people think of illegal migration, it's usually the border crossings between America and Mexico. But one of the worst crossings in the Americas is actually between Colombia and Panama. Since the pandemic started, illegal border crossing dropped dramatically because of how many countries had actually closed their borders. But now that borders are opening up, it has allowed for border crossings to start up again. With a high demand for jobs in America and a low economic recovery in Latin America, many people have started to try and go to America. But for some countries, it is very difficult to go into Mexico and then to America. So what they do is travel to Colombia and then trek their way through the Darien Gate into Panama and then through Central America. This is one of the most dangerous trails that people go through because of the dangerous jungle that lays between Colombia and Panama. With snakes, heat, and strong currents in the river, many people have died on their way to Panama. And when guides get closer to Panama, they actually go back to Colombia because they don't want to be caught for human trafficking. The total cost to help get through the Darien Gap has also gone up, which also makes some people want to try and cross alone, which makes it even more dangerous than if they were to go with a guide. The spirit of an agreement is being broken in Puerto Rico. Back in 2016, a law known as PROMESA established an oversight financial board for Puerto Rico that might be breaking a part of the law that restricts the board from overreaching and touching Puerto Rico's pension fund. Yet, they unanimously passed a cut to the Dignified Retirement Act in Puerto Rico. This was very controversial in Puerto Rico, and many people took to the streets to protest this potential cut to pension plans. While this plan cannot be officially implemented, the board has to come to an agreement with the local government, which they press should cut 8.5% of any pension plan that pays $1,500 per month. With so much turmoil in Latin America, the militarization of their police has begun to rise, and currently, Colombia is planning on militarizing at least four more cities after sending members of the military police to the capital city of Bogota to help local police maintain order. The four cities that are set to get military help are Sococha, Cali, Barranquilla, and Cúcuta. The reason for all this help is needed is because of the pandemic. There was so much civil and social unrest that has sprung up because of the economic effects of COVID and the inability of the government to help its citizens financially. The economic strain put in many Latin American countries has also caused several different countries to have a change in ideology politically. In this second report, mandated by the Human Rights Council of the UN, the independent international fact-finding mission of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela alleged that judges allowed evidence submitted by prosecutors to be used that had been obtained by torture, among other recurrent due process violations. Quote, in some cases reviewed, judges also failed to protect victims of torture by ordering that they return to the places of detention where the torture allegedly occurred, despite having heard victims, sometimes bearing visible injuries consistent with torture, make the allegations in court, end quote. The mission said in a statement, the mission's findings based on 177 interviews, including many with justice system actors, as well as a survey of the former Venezuelan judges, prosecutors, and defense lawyers, and analysis of thousands of pages of legal case files and other official documents. This overall goes to show how Maduro has been able to continue to stay in power by ensuring the inability of a free justice system and having much of the political landscape to be intertwined with politics. Ecuador is set to have a major mining project start production at the end of President Guillermo Lasso's first term in 2025. He also seeks to diversify the economy. Many major mining projects in Ecuador have encountered opposition from local communities and have struggled with occupants by informal miners, which have slowed down their development. While Ecuador has lagged behind Peru and Chile, it plans to start catching up soon with the start of these new projects. This past week, a former terrorist in Peru who created the terrorist group known as the Shining Path died. I'm going to do a podcast specifically about Peru and how this group has actually affected the politics of Peru since the 1980s next week. Bolivia and Venezuela this past Thursday were accused by the U.S. President Joe Biden that they did not do enough to combat the war on drugs and the production of drugs in their country. both have denied this claim, and Bolivia has responded by saying that they have managed to eradicate more than 6,000 hectare acres or 14,800 acres of coca plants. In a statement by the Interior Minister, Eduardo del Castillo, they rejected their report because it was done unilaterally and not done with research inside of the country. Going over to Brazil, Brazil is accusing Pfizer of holding them for ransom with the contracts that they demand to be signed for them to send vaccine shots to Brazil. Part of the contract stipulates that Pfizer cannot be sued for any kind of side effect that the shot might give people, and if any action is taken against them, that suit has to go through the U.S. court system. This has been brought into question, the legitimacy of Big Pharma and whether or not, during a public health crisis, government should be in charge of distributing vaccines in order to ensure the safety of the world populace. Carlitos Regira, a member of Paraguay's Chamber of Deputies, has announced that he may be running for president in 2023 and that he would make Bitcoin the country's official currency. This comes after El Salvador and Ukraine had created systems to allow for the trade and payment of Bitcoin. While this wild proposal would make Bitcoin legal tender, it therefore could change the economics of cryptocurrencies because of how the countries would have to regulate how Bitcoin is actually used. With more and more countries looking to adopt cryptocurrencies, the way in which that this is going to affect world economies, especially third world economies, could be great. Uruguay's president, Lucio Lacalle Pou, Tuesday announced his country had begun negotiations with China to reach a free trade agreement, which has been regarded as the beginning of the end of Mercosur. Last month, exports to China amounted to $233 million, which meant a growth of 52% compared to the same last month of 2020. While this move could be really good for Uruguay, it does put more into question Mercosur, which is a trade bloc of South America, and whether or not they will come together to get more trade deals done, or if all the member countries will go and try and get their own deals for their own countries specifically. Argentina's Peronist president, Alberto Fernandez, reshuffled his cabinet on Friday night in a move to increase the power of the radical vice president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, and pave the way for higher public spending. The new appointment suggested by Fernandez had ceded further ground to his powerful deputy, who herself has served as president in 2007 to 2015, and is widely seen as the real power behind the throne. Argentina's constitution does not give term limits, but it does give an interim period where someone cannot run right after the end of their term, and this could be a move to allow for the former president to still hold power without dramatically changing the constitution. These moves come after a huge upset in the primaries, which gave way to right-wing parties. And lastly, on Thursday, Chile announced that on October 1st, they will be allowing tourists to come visit Chile with proof of vaccination in a 5-day quarantine period. This move comes to ensure the safety of the public, but also to try and reopen the country and aid their tourism sector. A digital pass must be obtained after entering the country to show at any places that require proof of vaccination to be allowed in. The Chilean Health Department is allowing those with the Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Sinopharm, Sinovac, CanSino, and Sputnik V to all be allowed in. While there are more steps to being allowed within the country, this is still a big step for the country to be taking to reactivate its tourism sector. Well, guys, that's it for this week. I will be back next week doing my special report on Peru and the former terrorist of the Shining Path. And I am so happy to be back with you guys. Don't forget to like, subscribe, whatever it is that you need to hit in order to get an update whenever I do post a new podcast, or go on Facebook to like the page, or you can go on my Patreon to see any of the links that I have posted for all of the articles that I read to make this podcast. And I will see you guys next week.